You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Although Per Pedersen has been regarded as one of Norway's most important writers for the past 20 years or so, his books are just beginning to be made available in this country. The first two are In the Wake from Picador and Out Stealing Horses from Grey Wolf. Both have been translated by Anne Bourne, and I'm very pleased that they have brought Mr. Pedersen to my show today. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me.
In the Wake is about a writer who's lost his parents and two younger brothers in a ferry accident. Is that based on that famous accident, the Scandinavian Star ferry disaster?
It is, although I don't say that in the book, and I don't like to mention the name of that book because everybody has this kind of... Well, if have some memory.
Well, even Americans will remember that because it was...
You do.
It was a headline story in the
sure,
United States.
Sure, there's 159 people that died there. Among them, my parents and one of my brothers and a niece, in fact.
Wow.
Yes, but I made it two brothers because I had another brother who died earlier, and I sort of... Perhaps I won't write about him, so he's... Well, I took him in.
So you decided to write about it as fiction. First of all, many people don't even want to, address those kinds of
personal
losses.
I decided not
to
write about it. And in a way, I didn't. I didn't want to be the Scandinavian Star writer, you know? I didn't want to do that. But 6 years or so later, I started to write about this, well, this writer, this man standing outside this bookshop. He obviously had been drinking too much the night before, and he wakes up outside of this bookshop.
He's had a blackout.
Definitely. and so it stopped there, and I thought, what's it with him? What is it, you know? And then I thought, well, what's the worst thing that ever happened to you? Maybe it's happened to him too. And I took it from there.
Well, he's hit rock bottom. And,
definitely,
you felt like you had hit rock bottom when that happened? Well, you lost... Your
parents, of course, in a different way, because in reality, we who were involved with this had people who died from us or those who survived the accident. We were shot. We had like a shot of adrenaline, you know, and we were sort of crazy for 2 years doing a lot of things, talking. Whereas this man, he experiences this alone, sort of, you know, and he's all alone, and it's really much worse to be alone after a thing like this.
Well, it takes place 6 years after the accident.
Sure.
As you said, and his wife has divorced him. He rarely sees his children, mm-hmm. and his only remaining brother has committed suicide.
Well, tried to, at least. Well, that's rock bottom for you.
Yeah.
It was very interesting to write about. I mean, he did in so like 2 weeks what I did in 2 years, so it's kind of harder, right?
Well, he also suffers from survivor's guilt because he was supposed to be on the ship with his family.
Which is true for me, too.
So, you know, most writers seem to hate the... How much of this is autobiographical question from interviewers? But you're inviting that, aren't you?
No, because I can honestly say nothing is. You know, nothing in that book really happened. I mean, even the thing about the Scandinavian Star, the host who died, I mean, it's not correct. It's not me, quite, you know. So, my brother didn't try to commit suicide. It was a friend of mine who did that, you know. And I can, well, it's not true. Anything is not true. The spirit is true, I think.
So you can, one of the things that's interesting about being able to write fiction as opposed to making this into a memoir is you can invent a character and put him into your situation and then see how he reacts.
That's
which
true.
Is not necessarily the way you would have reacted.
Of course. I mean, let's give him my circumstances, sort of, and let's see what happens if he's slightly different from me or if he's like me and give him a little different circumstances. How would I be then? That's the pleasure of it, you know.
But I'm sure that in dealing with the idea of how writers deal with grief or any strong emotion and then turning it into literature, you are talking about something that you've thought a lot about on a personal level.
Yes, but I couldn't give you a sort of very good answer because this Norwegian writer said... And he had a friend who was a painter, and he asked this painter, what would you do if every time you thought about this and that, this face would come in for you? And the painter said, I would paint that face, you see? And in a way, I did that too. although I didn't want to be the Scandinavian star writing sort of about the fire and all these sort of Titanic kind of things that you could sort of, you know, dive into. I wouldn't do that. So, I mean, the ship fire takes about 4 pages of the book, you know.
You have written it in first person. And yes. Part of your narrator's pain has to do with his unresolved relationship with his father, who worked all of his life in a shoe factory. He's made fun of Arvid by calling him Hemingway, purposely mispronouncing it as a way of making fun of his literary aspirations.
That's true, and it's not true. Well, in reality, it's not quite true. Most of my books tend to be about that, you know, a father-son relationship, for better or for worse. I had kind of a difficult thing with my father, although not sort of dramatic like in the books. So just that he wasn't there anyway, you know. So
would that be typical in Norway, that people would think that becoming a writer of fiction is not necessarily the most respectable thing, especially in a country where the language has a limited potential audience?
No, not in general, but this, you know, myself and my parents, we were working class, and nobody in my, you know, where I lived or anywhere close to it knew about any writers. Writers were something you met in the library, and it was very difficult. I mean, my father worked in a shoe factory, my mother worked in a chocolate factory, and one of my brothers was working in a factory. It was kind of strange. He wanted me to, I hope that I will turn into somebody like him, not in a negative way, but so he could talk to me, you know, so we could have something in common. But I tended to not sort of, I made it a little distance, you know. And
well, you turned out to become an intellectual. And
kind of intellectual, yes, although I wouldn't like to be. I would like to be a writer, which is not quite the same thing.
You've been compared to the famous Norwegian writer Knut Hamsun. Well, was he an influence? I hope not politically, anyway.
Definitely not. No. Well,
he was an admirer of Hitler.
Yeah, he wrote Hitler's obituary, and he gave his Nobel Prize literary medal to Goebbels, you know, so as a present on his birthday or whatever. In the wake, if you write a book like that, and not being aware of that there is a book called Hunger, mm-hmm. would be silly if you were a Norwegian writer. And also if you wrote a book like Out Stealing Horses and didn't know that there was a book called Pan by Knut Hamsun, that would also be rather silly if you were Norwegian.
Because there are similarities in
tone
and sensibility.
Yes, it's, everybody sort of recognizes something, because Knut Hamsun is really widely read in Norway, and he's our greatest writer ever. It's a pity he was, you know, supporting the Germans during the war.
Well, you could be a great writer and still not necessarily have good politics.
Well, Ezra Pound, Céline, it's all over the place. So, I wouldn't say that he was an influence. Other writers, also Norwegian writers, have influenced me more than him. But you are very aware of him. You know he's there, and he's very good.
Well, you mentioned a number of other writers in the book, including Rick Bass and Alice Munro.
Yes.
You must have mentioned them because they are writers you admire.
Yes, they kind of, you know, these. I worked in a bookshop in Oslo for 12 years, from 1981 to 1993, and I was sort of head of imports. We were just 6 people, so I had all not Norwegian books, you know.
Reading them in English?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was English, yeah, imported, yes. But in Norway, you do read English, you know. A lot of people read English books. So, this was the 80s, and I discovered all these new writers coming, Richard Ford, Raymond Carr, Jane Ann Phillips, Alice Munro, who was older, of course, and Rick Bass. I stumbled across one of his books, and I really loved him. The Winter, you know, up in Montana. Montana is like little like Norway, but it's kind of more like Norway than Norway. So we kind of like Montana, you know.
Well, he lives in relative isolation.
Yeah, well, so do I.
Out Stealing Horses, the other novel of yours being published here, won Britain's Independent Foreign Fiction Prize. I'm assuming that those prizes are important for a writer from a country like Norway, where, as I said earlier, you have a limited audience because you're writing in Norwegian.
Sure.
And unless you are translated, you're likely to continue to have a small audience.
Yes, definitely.
I think if you're French or you're a German writer, there's a much more likely that you're going to be translated first.
Well, I think so. We are just 4.5 million people in Norway, but we read a lot. So I sold many, many copies of that book in Norway. But definitely, and it's very difficult to get into the English-American market, you know, to be translated if you are Norwegian. It's very, very hard, and that's why they have this independent foreign fiction prize to sort of boost that and get the English to read more foreign fiction.
Well, in both of these cases, the novels are translated by Anne Bourne.
Yeah.
Is she also translating the third novel that will be published here, To Siberia?
Well, she has translated. That was the first one, To Siberia, that we did. What we do is she makes sort of a first draft translation, and I sort of massacre it, and we send it to the editor, and he massacres it, and then you go round and round, you know? So it's kind of a three-way operation.
Well, how much of the books change in the process? Because translation is always an iffy thing.
Yes.
Are we getting, when I read In the Wake or Out Stealing Horses, am I pretty much getting the same book that Norwegians are getting, or am I getting some American version or an English language version of them?
I think it's pretty much the same, but to get the effect that you have in Norwegian, you have to change your tools when you do it in English, of course. So, but, you know, it's kind of different from the first draft that Anne has made and to the finished book. Is, you know, it's things have happened on the way, a lot of it.
Well, with novels like these, which are so much about the interior life of your characters, translation involves not only getting the meaning, but also the tone right.
That is true. That's the most important thing there. Two things I would like to see that she does well, and that is the rhythm and the tone, you know, because the Norwegian version is very rhythmic. And, I can sort of tapping my foot when I read it, and also the tone, because it's both those books, there's a voice telling the story. And I think in 1990 I decided I will never write a book in third person anymore because I loved the voice. I think it was after I read Richard Ford's Wildlife, which I loved so much. And I reread it once a year. And it had this voice, this quality. And I will never do a third person again.
Mm. Well, I would imagine that English, because it comes largely, as much as anything, out of Danish, would have some kind of a similarity to Norwegian. I mean, didn't the Angles and the Saxons come from Denmark and from other parts of Scandinavia as well?
The Norwegian Vikings, they found in Dublin and places like that in England, and we fought the English in those times. But, it's a lot of similarities, but, Danish and Norwegian are very, very similar to each other. You can read Danish without a problem, and you can understand a Swede when he talks. And in Norway, we sort of grew up with the English. Like in Germany, France, and Italy, they dub all movies, but we don't do that. We have the subtitles, and everybody sort of learns English from that, and we have English at school, and it's the music, you know.
I want to thank you so much for coming by to talk about these two novels. More coming out soon, now that we have broken through?
Well, I have to, when I travel around, I don't get to write much, so I hope it stops soon so I can write again.
Meanwhile, we have in paperback now, after having been published in hardcover, In the Wake, and just out in hardcover, Out Stealing Horses, both from Per Pedersen. My great thanks to you for having been on the show.
Thank you for inviting me.